KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have 57 degrees in Atlantic. We look for it to be partly cloudy today, a high of 78. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Brought to you this hour by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, your Trane home comfort specialist dealer. One person was injured when a car and a field sprayer collided Monday evening in Montgomery County. The sheriff's office reports a John Deere 4730 sprayer, owned and operated by 25-year-old Joshua Stanley Carlson, and a 2009 Hyundai Sonata driven by 50-year-old Lori Jomaine, collided at around 8 p.m. on the 2000 block of Highway 34. The accident happened as both vehicles were headed westbound, and Carlson initiated a left-hand turn into a field drive. He noticed the car was beginning to pass him on the left, so Carlson swerved back into his lane, when the car also swerved into the same lane. After the vehicles collided, Maine was transported to the Montgomery County Hospital in Red Oak, where she was treated and later released. Damage to the sprayer was estimated at $10,000, while the car was totaled in the collision. Deputies were assisted at the scene by Red Oak Police, Red Oak Fire and Rescue, and personnel with AgriVision. The Atlantic Police Department reports several arrests took place over the past week and a half or so. On May the 23rd, 29-year-old Jeremy Cresselius of Atlantic was arrested on two counts of possession of drug paraphernalia, possession of controlled substance methamphetamine, possession of marijuana, and four counts of unlawful possession of a prescription drug. That same day, 55-year-old Kurt Cresselius of Atlantic was arrested for possession of meth. Both men were booked into the Cass County Jail. On May the 31st, 45-year-old Carl Kemp of Atlantic was arrested for violation of a no-contact order. That same day, 19-year-old Tyler Osborne and 18-year-old Kayla Holstey, both of Atlantic, were arrested for fifth-degree theft or shoplifting. Osborne was booked into the Cass County Jail, while Holstey was cited into court and released. And on May 22nd, 22-year-old Nasser Jamal of Atlantic was arrested for theft in the fifth degree. He was booked into the Cass County Jail. On May 27th, 41-year-old William Dunlap of Stanton was arrested in Atlantic for fifth-degree theft. He was also booked into the Cass County Jail. Police in Creston arrested two people on Monday. 17-year-old Daryl Malik Thornton of Lorimore was arrested at around 4:45 p.m. on two Union County warrants for probation violation. His bond was set at $5,000. And at around 7:15 p.m. Monday, Creston police arrested 25-year-old Chevy Van Sauer of Creston for driving while suspended. He was later released from the Union County Jail on $300 bond. A traffic stop late last night in Fremont County resulted in the arrest of the driver of the vehicle on drug charges. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office says a deputy stopped a pickup truck driven by 26-year-old Gail Gilbert Haywood Jr. of Randolph at around 11:30 p.m. Haywood Jr. was arrested after an investigation determined he was allegedly in possession of methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia. The man was transported to the Fremont County Jail and held on $2,300 cash bond. A Mills County man was arrested Sunday for public intoxication, assault displaying a weapon, disorderly conduct, and willful injury causing bodily injury. The Glenwood Police Department says 33-year-old Caleb Ware of Silver City was being held in the Mills County Jail on $7,600 bond. And on Friday, 38-year-old Amy Fritz of Glenwood was arrested on a Mills County warrant for violation of compulsory education. Her bond was set at $300. The Glenwood PD said also officials of the Glenwood School reported on Thursday an incident of attempted burglary, but no other details were provided. Two people were arrested on drug charges over the weekend in Mills County. The Sheriff's Office reports 21-year-old Benjamin McGee of Glenwood was arrested for possession of controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. His bond was set at $1,300. And 46-year-old Duncan Evans of Malvern was arrested for OWI second offense and possession of a controlled substance. His bond was set at $3,000. Elsewhere in the news, Omaha, Nebraska, and Council Bluffs, Iowa are, of course, separated by the Missouri River. But officials say a recent food festival suggested that water isn't a barrier to a collaboration between them for events. The Council Bluffs Park Director says the river can pull us together. The two cities are tied by a pedestrian bridge. The Taste of Omaha this past weekend spilled over into Iowa for the first time. An event organizer says attendance might have reached more than 125,000 during the three-day festival. The Lust Fest last month in Council Bluffs had sponsorships from Omaha, enabling the festival to stage free concerts, movies, and other entertainment. A consulting team last year suggested cooperation on the riverfront could benefit both communities. The monthly report that keeps tabs on Midwestern economy finds all signs pointing to a weakening economy on all levels. in the state of Iowa, across the nine-state region, and nationwide. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss says across the board, inflation is rising, hiring is down, exports are down, and imports are down.
It's just simply because our economy is weak. It's weak growth, so we're not purchasing much as much. So all in all, it was not a good report. It was not a horrible report. We've seen a lot worse back in the bad old days of the recession. But this thing, this U.S. economy, this regional economy is weakening.
The Federal Reserve Board will meet in about 2 weeks, and there is much speculation the panel will raise interest rates. Goss says if that happens June the 16th, it'll be long overdue.
Inflationary pressures are moving up, up, up. Now, not into a danger zone, but it does push the Fed, is going to push the Fed to begin raising rates. I think they're behind the curve already, should have begun raising rates already, but they haven't.
Iowa's key economic indicator slipped during May, but remains above what's known as growth neutral, a line between a growing economy and one that's in decline. The monthly Creighton survey goes out to business leaders and purchasing managers in Iowa and eight other states. It found the confidence level slipped a bit further for May, but it remains in positive territory.
I'm a little less confident right now. Meaning, I think growth is going to slow. It's not going to match the Fed's goal. It's not going to match the Fed's expectations.
Iowa's durable goods manufacturers continue to experience pullbacks in economic activity, Goss says. Producers in Iowa tied to agriculture, such as agriculture equipment manufacturers and metal producers, are reporting downturns in economic activity. On the other hand, he says, non-durable producers in the state report positive but weak growth for the month. And a survey of small towns in Iowa finds some of the sense of community has slipped, while the local convenience store continues to be the most popular place to swap gossip. The survey began in 1994 and has repeated every decade to get a read on small towns in each of the state's 99 counties. Terry Besser of Iowa State University led the 2014 survey and says they found a gradual erosion of what they call a sense of community among residents.
Which is this notion that people in this town share common goals, and they'll put aside their differences in order to work together to solve problems.
Besser is a sociology professor. She says part of that loss of sense of community is fewer people volunteering.
And across the last 20 years, a smaller percentage of people indicated they're active, and a smaller percentage have participated in the last 12 months in a community improvement project. So those are areas that towns need to focus on.
Besser says 10 years ago, one of the biggest reasons cited by people for not being involved was not enough time. The top reason given in the latest survey was different.
Nobody asked us to get involved, or I don't know how to get involved. I'm not sure how to take that, because perhaps you weren't asked, you know, as an individual respondent. Maybe you weren't asked because you turned us down six times in the past.
Less than 30% of residents rated jobs and shopping as good or very good, but that was up from 15 to 16% in the previous survey. School and church activities had long been considered the center for small town gatherings to share information, but in 2004, those who responded to the survey wrote in convenience store as the top place, and Besser says they followed up on that in the latest survey.
The gas station convenience store sort of piqued our interest, so in 2014 we listed that as a choice, and that comes up as the number one place where people say they get together and socialize with other folks in town.
And she finds the convenience store response interesting and maybe more worthy of more study.
I think there's a dissertation someplace waiting to be written about what role convenience stores are playing in helping to build or sustain small-town community.
While they found erosion of the sense of community, Besser says not everything in the survey was negative.
One thing we were surprised at in 1994 was the strong ratings that were given to local government services, things like emergency response services, parks, police protection, fire protection. And that has continued, and if anything, it has increased. So people are evaluating those things very positively in small towns.
Residents were less satisfied with non-governmental services such as housing, childcare, and medical services, but people still like the way they're treated by others in small towns. Overall, Besser said that small towns should be pleased with what was found in the survey. The main reasons people live in a particular small town has not changed since researchers conducted the first survey in 1994. The top two reasons are family ties and they grew up in town. Proximity to work is also important. Besser said those strong family and social ties are a strength and challenge for many small towns in Iowa. The survey was funded by a grant from the USDA National Institute for Food and Agriculture. The full report on the survey findings is available on a link on the same story under the news page at KJAN.com. The link also includes individual reports for all 99 communities. Our news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle, where it's hard to stop a train. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.